Welcome to Exploring Video Games. I'm Anna, and today is Thursday, December 2nd, 2021, and this is episode 95. For this episode, I played Nuclear Throne. This is a roguelike action-adventure game developed by Vlambeer and released in 2015 for Linux, Windows, and Mac, which is how I played it. And it was later released for PlayStation Vita, Nintendo Switch, and the Xbox One. So this is a loud, kind of over-the-top game. It wasn't really my thing, but there are a lot of great parts in it, and I do admire its boldness. I finished it, and it took me about 30 hours. So you play as Doug. He is a surfer and a guitar player in California. He's kind of a burnout and kind of a charismatic slacker, I guess. And he goes on an epic journey to find his long-lost custom guitar that he had made as a teenager and later sold. Now he's on a hunt to get it with lots of trouble and conquests along the way. So it starts, you and your friend Green are working at a zoo as like low-level caretakers. You have to do all your little jobs. You're also in the middle of drama with your band, EBT Food, who Green is the bass player for and you are the guitarist for. And the rest of the band is backup singers who you and Green tend to be like romantically involved with. There's also like a slew of unreliable drummers. The game is very chaotic. There's like an endless onslaught of people and problems being presented to you. At first, I was trying to get everything done. I spent hours at the zoo. But you learn to ignore a lot of that stimuli and kind of just use like context clues and points earned to pick the threads to follow. Pretty confusing, kind of stressful energy, but it did keep me entertained for the most part. This is kind of a like antagonistic game, and it's like a little mean-spirited, and I really liked that about it, again, for the most part. So there's always kind of like a background task that you have to do. In the beginning, it's keeping your job at the zoo, and later it becomes van maintenance and keeping the band together. So yeah, you and Green working at the zoo, you have to figure out what to do as you go. There's very little in the way of instruction, and you have to figure out like the security system and basically your duties there. I actually liked the relative boringness of the first part. I found it satisfying to like make things run smoothly, make all the animals happy. Love the animals. They're all these like anthropomorphic, impish tricksters who talk to you and can lead you on adventures. The penguins are great. You have like a really sweet, like pre-existing bro relationship with them. There's some nice sincerity with them. Solving that fish drama with Ned is very sweet. I also really liked the disastrous party that Radish kind of like manipulates you into throwing, like after hours with the band, insane and chaotic in a very fun way, I thought. Really disgusting, successful, disgusting mess in the aftermath of that. That was memorable. There's a great, very well-developed mechanism for your various hangovers, which is a challenge, and I was definitely impressed by that. Green is kind of annoying, extremely whiny voice. He's more or less always with you. He's flaky during the missions. He's obsessed with Bigfoot, which is a constant theme of the game. He does kind of like provide a lot of the momentum. He's the one that reminds you of the custom guitar and sets off that whole narrative. You and him were in high school together when you commissioned this guitar. There's a cutscene explaining that. And you don't get to see the guitar until the end, which is fun. So yeah, you spend most of the game more or less trying to get this guitar back. I like that you name the guitar Christine and you like imbue it with all this importance like after the fact. Like in the flashbacks, it clearly didn't really mean as much to you as it suddenly does now. That was funny and seems truthful to me. There's a couple flashback cutscenes to high school with you and Green. I thought they were long-winded, but it does establish some, like, reoccurring dynamics. And it introduces your high school music nemesis, Carl, who you kind of predictably end up having to deal with later. I could have used a lot less of the cutscenes. And I thought that, like, characterization or whatever was unnecessary. Like, I feel like these are just kind of, all the characters are kind of just like loathsome slackers, and I didn't really think that it like bolstered the game to have us like understand them or like them. So you as a band do occasionally play music. It's kind of like Guitar Hero, DDR type play. I liked that okay. I think not having too much of that was a good choice. Aesthetically, the game is pretty loud and garish. All the colors are like beach ball colors, and it reminded me of like 90s Nickelodeon, the channel. I found it to be visually pretty ugly, but it's definitely a choice. And again, I got the sense that it wants to irritate you, and that I did respect and kind of enjoy. Yeah, the complete kind of comedic chaos and kind of purposeful hostility of this is impressive to me. I watched Brewster McCloud for the first time a couple weeks ago, and that sort of like very male-brained, malicious, rascally quality reminded me of that. I don't think this game is as good as Brewster McCloud, but similar quality. And yeah, that kind of like zany hostility is just like not my thing, even though I see its value. During that terrible wedding catering mission, you have a vision that leads you to contact your old friend Allure, who does have a piece of the puzzle in your quest for finding Christine. I loved Allure. She's like a sassy, bratty New York accent girl. She's got great 1970s style. And you and her have a past, and there's a little bit of continuing romance there. She's really fun, and there's also an option to have her be involved with the band that I did not end up taking. That catering mission was just awful, very boring. And it's, like, clearly making fun of those, like, bloodless, affluent, office-type wedding attendants or attendees, and I'm on board with that, but the surrounding gameplay was just, like, terrible. The clocks and the buffet, that was just tedious and confusing, and yeah, I don't know. I was just, like, if you're gonna be, like, mean-spirited, I think the surrounding gameplay should be good. So you are eventually fired from the zoo after a zebra fence debacle, which I believe is unavoidable. Your boss, Rob, is great. He's a great villain. He's just like dead-eyed, extremely serious businessman who has like no time for any of your stuff. That firing cutscene I found to be very funny, probably my favorite of all of them. Rob is voiced by William Needle. That was really great and a standout performance to me. So Green kind of steers you into this like surfing saga where you and he are being beach bums and eventually participating in surfing competitions for money. I did not like the surf stuff. It's kind of fun at first, but I don't know. It just like wasn't that hard. There's not much variety to the gameplay. I just wasn't into it. I did like the way that the water is animated. That was very pretty. I liked all the visuals of the beach. And there's a lot of different beaches, and there's actually a lot of different like types of oceanic environments, which were visually pleasing to me. More Bigfoot stuff. The drone mission to try to film him is very fun. That's one of a couple missions where it's like a very big departure from the general tone of the rest of the game. I really liked that. Very intense and serious. Also very short, which I thought was good. So the beach life thing leads up to the big Malwalo surf contest. That is very difficult and takes forever. That was probably the low light of the game for me. I thought it was just very repetitive, not challenging, boring. The adjacent bikini contest is awesome. That's pretty unnecessary and like judgmental in a way that I found to be surprising and really great. And it did make up a little bit for the surf stuff, I thought. So once you win the surf thing, you get money and a van, which brings you to the next chapter of the game. The game is broken up into four segments where there's a little like title card that comes across the screen. The first one is accident, second one is innocence, third one is chance, and fourth one is prankishness. And there's a little bit of logic to it, but it does seem to be kind of random when they pop up. That was very silly and theatrical in a way that I really liked. I thought that was funny. So you get that van. It's very fun, very fast to drive, and that opens you up to tons of little missions of doing favors for your friends. I think my favorite van mission was the Dr. Armani saga. That's fantastic. I think that was probably my favorite part of the game. He's just this like insane wealthy doctor who provides a lot of products to various friends of yours. And there's an incident where he has just been shot and you have to covertly get him to Entrencia. So you have to like call in friends and favors to do like illegal quiet surgery in the back of this van while you're rushing to this business deal of his. Very fun. That was funny and like really challenging. There's some good stealth stuff in there, like mixed with kind of like loud and fast Grand Theft Auto type violence and car moves. I died a lot with that one and wrecked out a lot on the expressway. Yeah, rushing through that highway is really fun, and like learning the correct path to do that is very satisfying. That was great. So right after that one, there's another high-speed chase with Smyrna. That ends in more surfing, which I did not like. So along the way, you're kind of finding bits and pieces on your search for Christine. Eventually you contact the guy that owns it. He is unwilling to sell it to you until you write a song for him that he deems worthy of the guitar. And yeah, the final big quest of the game is bringing together the original members of EBT Food from your guys' high school lineup and writing this song. You track down the drummer, Vern. There is a boring driving mission to get him. And then you have to solve his impossible rent situation before he agrees to join you guys. Great gross squalor in that segment. Then you have to convince Miranda to come back to the band. She was also your high school girlfriend. There's lots of drama and betrayal alluded to with her, but it's not gone into, which I appreciated. She's very bitter and hostile, and there is a great mission where she very, like, sadistically basically has you, like, clean and do a bunch of domestic chores for her before she agrees to get the band back together. So you all come together, and during a party, you all have a mutual vision that leads you to craft the winning song that you intend to publish and perform for Christine's current owner. So that last little part is bringing the band and all your equipment to this beach house where Christine's owner lives. It turns out, of course, to be Carl, who is now a successful musician with his band Acting Charter. And you guys meet and square off in this beachside battle of the bands. So you have to perform the song to a certain degree of perfection. I really liked Carl's house. It's like a glass UFO. That looked cool. The guitar stuff there is fun. And I did really like the song that you guys come up with. It's called Manic Trains. Pretty silly. And that solo is very fun to get down. Great little display when you're doing well, with dolphins jumping out of the water and Bigfoots and penguins coming out to, like, sing the background lyrics. Very over the top, very fun. So when you win, Carl and Acting Charter are dismayed and reveal the guitar. It's super silly. It's like a clear resin with, like, flames and inlaid, like, coins and scorpions in it. It's also very, like, asymmetric and kind of looks poorly made. It's very appropriately stupid and anticlimactic in a very funny way. There's a little scene of you doing a solo on it and, like, ascending into the clouds while jamming out. And then it ends. Good ending, I thought. Yeah, I enjoyed the last little part. So yeah, like I've said, this is not really my thing. I did like and respect a lot of aspects of it. It's very bold and over the top and antagonistic. But I did find a lot of the stuff to be tedious, especially the surfing stuff. And I thought that the whole, like, middle part was just annoying and extraneous. But it's definitely an interesting and mildly weird game, and I would recommend it if it sounds interesting to you. So for the next episode, I am going to play Evasive Space. This is from 2009. I, like, vaguely remember it coming out, but I don't know anything about it. I really like the title, though, which is why I chose it. You can reach me at exploringvideogames@aol.com. The website is exploringvideogames.tumblr.com, which is where I upload the screenshots. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next time.